This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Good morning, Metroplex. 8 o'clock hour here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for being a Tolo. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On. And the sports event that we all have to react to from last night is another Laker loss.
Folks, this is it. The Lakers have to get it in. James Watson. Oh, no!
And you know you are the lowly Hornets when you are reacting to a regular season game like that to get your 14th win on the season. Awful, awful, hideous loss for the Lakers. Charlotte is now 5-19 away from their home arena, and the Lakers have lost two in a row to Utah and the Hornets. Luka tying a season high in turnovers with 6. He was awful shooting it from the field and from 3. 5 of 18 from the field, 1 of 9 from 3, 14 points. He's averaging right now in Los Angeles 14-6 since joining. 1 of 9, as I said, from distance. And you have a lot of Tolos saying he just doesn't look happy. I'm telling you, he's not going to re-sign there. He doesn't have the same joy. He doesn't have the same happiness. Of course, he does not have the same chemistry, except with a guy like Dwight Powell. But the Lakers lose as LeBron throws up the threes at the very end. Now, Kyrie Irving, is he going to be the next to leave? Kyrie was sitting down with Malika Andrews during the All-Star break. A very good question from Malika. What do you think about the rhetoric and the noise coming from the Mavs front office about your hermano?
You know, part of our job every day to deal with the public space, but there were real relationships that were built behind the scenes that will transcend just the basketball court and, you know, coaching and then upper management. And I know that for my own peace of mind, just because we not only had 2 years together, but we got a chance to know each other as men. And hopefully we can tailor back on some of the public criticism aspects of it and really just maintain, you know, the kindness and the compassion that we have for each other that's real every day, not just one moment or a soundbite that ends up being described as something that could be taken out of context. You know? That's what I feel like is going on right now. People are highly emotional. I'm not the one to shun anybody, whether it be in a public forum or behind the scenes and trying not to have that conversation.
Hopefully we can tailor back on some of the public criticism aspects of it. Who is that directed towards?
It's very unclear to me if he's talking about the front office that he's saying, dial back your shots at Luka, or if he was addressing them in the first half and then he's saying, but some of the public criticism towards that, let's pull that back. I think it's the second one.
By the way, if intentional, pretty brilliant for it to be this vague and generic and just peaceful like all Kyrie statements are.
Yeah, I mean, because you know, Kyrie has talked about, you know, why do you talk about certain things? Why do you talk about contracts? Why do you talk about money? It's like, well, that's what the media does. He said that back when he was in the Nets, the Celtics, he was talking like that. You know, like, this is the reality of it, though. And from if you're the Mavericks, you're at this point, you can't win the trade in the regular season. Can't. You have to try to win the PR battle. That's the only thing they can even attempt to do right now.
Well, they have...
Oh, they're failing.
...gotten blown out in that category.
But their only chance to even win the PR battle is to tear down Luka.
They have a better chance of winning. They're winning more on the floor than in PR.
Right.
And that's with Anthony Davis hurt because Luka's not playing well and they're 1-2 against Scrubs.
Yeah, like they have to tear down. Like the front office, they've got to tear Luka down to even remotely... save face. It's not working. That's just their attempt.
I don't know. I think it's if they would have just
let it speak for itself. Let Luka go there, not play defense, let them struggle, let them lose, let them get eliminated early, be quiet, shut your mouth, and you know, let Anthony Davis hopefully be on the floor and have you advance farther than the Lakers. Not the aggressive Patrick Dumont statements or Nico laughing.
Look, I think it's
and throwing people out of the arena.
You've got to have some level. If they, I don't think they have to win the PR battle just by going like, let's go political attack ad on Luka. Like, I don't think that necessarily helps them as much as if they would have just been empathetic to the fan base and approached it with a more serious tone. You can't, in the very first public comments from them, essentially laugh and go like, I kind of brought this up as a joke over coffee, and then the owner even laughed at it, and then we're like, well, but let's just actually do it. Go ahead, go do it. Trade him. That'll be great. Like, if they would have had some more, such a bad word for a trade, but if they would have had more reverence for that and been more solemn about it, and then just tried more to emphasize what AD brings and what Max Christie brings, I think it would have over more quickly.
I'm trying to come at this from Nico's point of view. That's my I'm prefacing this.
Let's have a handshake.
I saw Luka like during the All-Star break post an IG story of him watching a game on his computer at poolside. What do you think Luka did during the All-Star break? We know Paul George was in Cabo. I know Chauncey Billups was in Cabo because I landed and saw a driver holding up a Chauncey Billups sign, and I was like, where is he? At least I assume there's really one Chauncey Billups. I could be wrong. What do you think Luka was doing? Because Nico Harrison, you have a guess? You have an answer?
I mean, I assume he was, I don't know, trying to find an apartment to live in.
Yeah.
You know, trying to take care of a lot of, like, when you get, he got traded, what, like a week and a half before?
Yeah.
There's a lot of, probably, there's some housekeeping stuff he's probably doing. He may have come back here and tried to get more clothes.
My guess in theory is Nico Harrison was thinking about that fake time away they gave Luka when they caught it an injury, and they said those five games need to be for conditioning. In Nico Harrison's mind, he is probably thinking, during that All-Star break, Luka Doncic better be doing nothing but running sprints. And Luka was sitting poolside. Again, I'm just giving you a Nico theory. Instead, he's sitting at poolside, probably enjoying a vacation and chilling. And he's gonna come back gassed, and he's gonna have 5,000 consecutive games, and he's gonna look sloppy. And there's no way that's Nico's mentality. During that All-Star break, you better be doing nothing but running sprints and try to drop another 3 or 4 pounds and have your cardio and your conditioning in peak form. And if Luka was chilling at the pool, and if he was just relaxing, taking out a few beers and FaceTiming with Joker with hookahs, Nico is thinking, that's why I got rid of him.
Yeah.
That's just something that popped into my mind when I saw the Instagram story. And then, look, you can do all the sprinting and conditioning you want. You're still going to be gassed in an NBA game. We all know this, right? Game condition versus that.
Yeah.
But I just thought about that. Like, what was Luka doing during the All-Star break, and what would Nico think or say if it was relaxing and taking some me time?
And there's...
when he's had plenty of it while out.
And he can hold that as an ideal and a standard, and he clearly did. And he felt like Luka wasn't meeting it. The problem is that you can talk about all the wind sprints Anthony Davis does in a week if Luka is there with his pool time that he spent at the All-Star game, and he's putting up 50 on them and blowing them out while Anthony Davis is in street clothes.
Yep.
It's like, well, your standard doesn't seem to matter then. It doesn't matter as much as you think it does.
Is Kyrie, have the Mavs just set this up for both superstars who liked each other? That's the other part of this.
Yeah.
The impossible thing about Kyrie coming here is like, he's not going to get along with Luka. They seem to be boys.
Yeah.
They seem to be tight. You got everything with Luka and Kyrie that you did not have with what was supposed to be your big two with Luka and Porzingis. And Bobby Marks, ESPN money guy, was asked yesterday who this offseason holds the biggest and best keys in the NBA.
It's Kyrie Irving. He's got the most leverage out of any potential free agent, including LeBron James and potentially James Harden here. Now, Irving's got a $43 million player option here. Certainly could opt into that contract. But I think when you look at the circumstances here, based on how he's playing like an all-star, certainly all-NBA type candidate. The Luka trade, they cannot afford to lose Kyrie or Irving this offseason here. And I think when you look at it, what's the best option for him and the Mavericks? That the best option is aligning him with that Anthony Davis contract. That's three for $175 million after the season. So Irving, a ton of leverage going into this offseason.
Now, how freaking frightening is that? You better hope that Kyrie Irving absolutely, A, that he was down with Luka leaving, which I don't believe for a second. You better hope that he absolutely loves Anthony Davis, that he absolutely loves Dallas-Fort Worth, because explain to me, sell me, be Jason Kidd and Nico Harrison, and sell me on freaking staying here after this just went down. Sell me on that.
Oh, you're so sell you on...
On Kyrie, I got a $43 million opt-in.
Your window is the same as our window. We got a couple years.
Yeah.
And your small window here, we did this for your shrinking window just like we have.
Okay.
And we're trying to maximize your time.
Well, I can go...
here, you work here. They love you here.
I can go and find any other team that has a two-year window. The Lakers have a window.
Yeah, but I mean, this is the guy that you wanted to play with. We're going to go out. We're going to try and get you Kevin Durant this offseason. You wanted Anthony Davis and Kevin Durant together.
Wait, who did I want to play with?
Kyrie wanted to get Kevin Durant and Anthony Davis together with him in Brooklyn.
Okay. So you're promising me Durant then?
At least you have half of it. Anthony Davis.
We're going to put in the time and the effort. And look, you've had enough experience across the NBA where you have not felt comfortable until you got here. Do you want to risk finding somewhere again that there's no comfort for you?
Mm.
You want to go to LA where there's 50 media members at every game?
Yeah.
And they will ask you questions that are intrusive and the Dallas media just won't?
So the media and KD sell. I think that's good. That's a good approach, but it's still frightening.
It is nuts, though. And like ESPN wrote about it yesterday, how it would have been unthinkable 3 years ago to say that the player with the most leverage in the NBA is Kyrie Irving.
Yep.
This would be similar to... this coming up offseason here in the NFL, the guy with the most leverage is Antonio Brown.
Yep.
Like, he he's got so much. How can you not just have Antonio Brown just everywhere for you? And he's the best leader in your locker room. I mean, how would you walk away from him?
All right. Bobby found this. I totally agree. Another total screw up and mishap from the Mavs PR department. They decided to, normally this would be good, fun, sit down your new players. Sit down Anthony Davis. Sit down Max Christie. Who's the other one?
Caleb Martin.
Sit down Caleb Martin. And let's give him a Texas quiz.
Let's do it.
How well do you know your new city and state? Anything else I should say about this?
No, that's a setup. They're going to quiz all of them, and you're going to hear each player answer.
Texas. Uh-oh. What a burger.
Bucky's is a company here.
Mm-hmm. Bucky's?
Yeah, Bucky's.
Okay.
What is it? Is it a sports pro shop? Gas station or restaurant?
Sounds like a restaurant. Sports pro shop.
Probably a restaurant. Sounds like a restaurant.
It's a gas station.
Oh, I was going to say gas station.
Yeah, I've never heard of Bucky's before.
The sports team is known as America's team. Kansas City Chiefs, Dallas Cowboys, Texas Rangers.
Dallas Cowboys, Green Bay Packers.
The Cowboys.
What is a Texas Twinkie? A fried Twinkie, a corn dog, or stuffed jalapeno?
Corn dog.
Fried corn dog. Stuffed jalapeno. Stuffed jalapeno. Y'all got that? I got to try that.
This is a bad look.
Now, look, listening to that, you may chuckle and think it's fun and funny. Or like Bobby and I initially why are you setting these guys up to call the Green Bay Packers America's team? They're already catching the backlash. We already have a five-alarm fire. Why would you set them up to get Texas Staples incorrect? Now, we could be looking at it too seriously.
I don't think so.
Look, here, my issue is the Buc-ee's one is the crazy one.
The Buc-ee's one.
Buc-ee's is in like a dozen states. Buc-ee's is not a solely, it's just here.
The Packer one is the most offensive. I'm hoping that Anthony Davis is a Green Bay fan.
Well, maybe he's a Green Bay fan.
He is a Green Bay fan, and that's why we couldn't play the audio because it's a visual thing. But they asked Anthony Davis at the end, they said, did Dez catch it? And he went and shook his head and got up and walked off. It's like, all right, like guys, we gotta soften the blow for them a little bit.
Yeah,
here.
Yes.
You don't have to be like, hey, you know how we just all blew in as outsiders and traded your star? Here's some other guys who are outsiders that they don't even know what Buc-ee's is. And now look, he played it right at the beginning. When Anthony Davis said, when they said, we're giving you a Texas quiz, he said, oh, Texas, Whataburger. That's good. He does know, as soon as he hears Texas, I have to identify Whataburger. I have to pay homage to Whataburger. That's what you do as a Texan now. But, man, he had no time for the Dallas Cowboys, no time for Dez or Buc-ee's or anything else. It's just a bad look. I didn't pull the clip there. One of them, Caleb Martin, they said, who's the all-time leading scorer for the Mavericks? And Caleb Martin said, Rolando Blackman. He said, I thought you were trying to trick me because there were multiple answers.
That's good knowledge of the history of the team, though.
It was multiple choice.
There it is. Maybe that's why Mass PR has not answered our interview requests with our dissection of their approaches after the deal. Below the Belt is coming up at 8:40. When is Micah getting his deal, especially after Stephen Jones was given more money to spend? Huh? But we are your home of the Rangers, and spring training is starting. Do the Rangers finally have someone in the top 10? RJ Choppy has the answers in his Rangers Diamond Cavs next on 105.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Below the Belt coming up at 8:40. What are we going to do with all this new spending money that the NFL gave teams yesterday? That's coming up with Sean Treif, RJ Choppy, and Bobby Belt. Brian Ray, Victory Plus, pre and post hosts on the Four Nations mega event tonight, airing 7 o'clock on this radio station, the United States against Canada. And we'll preview the rest of the star season as well with Brian Ray, 9 a.m., along with a Dierks Bentley ticket giveaway.
Going to ask him about a good little conspiracy theory that's going on within this game. Okay. I love it. I think there might be something to it.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I haven't heard it. Okay. I haven't seen it. I haven't heard about it.
Aren't you the one who always says you're tired of everything being a conspiracy, though?
Yeah, I am. I am tired of everything at least having it. But this one actually is, it's not really a conspiracy theory. It's just like, you know what? I could buy this. I could buy that this is the ulterior motive. How about that? An ulterior motive.
We will be the first station ever with dual event coverage next week at spring training And much to Brian Broaddus and Zach Woolchuck's chagrin, the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. The bitterness coming from those two is through the roof, but it was Bobby's idea. He got us an Indy. We'll have double coverage next week on The Fan, us at the Combine, the rest of the shows in Arizona for the Rangers.
It'll be great. You guys are going to love it. It's going to be your new favorite trip, I'm telling you. Yours specifically, I know. It'll be your new favorite trip just when you're like, oh, I get to walk next to, oh, here's just an NFL GM sitting here drunk wanting to tell stories to everybody.
Nah, I'm already setting myself up for disappointment because of the timing is we have our early bird dinner reservations, and then now you're starting to tell me, no, they're really going to start flowing in there at 9:30, 10, 10:30. Todd Archer's like, no, I don't know if I'll be able to join you 7 to 11 Eastern Standard. So I feel like we're going to walk out while all the cool kids are coming in.
No. See, that's the thing. You got to remember that them rolling in at 9:30 is them rolling in at 8:30. Central time, because that's we don't have to be there till 7, and we get to you're gonna be waking up at 6:30 and then getting ready to roll into the show. I'm telling you, you're gonna love the timing of it all, and then just the bumping into random big NFL players. You're like, oh my gosh, that's a huge power player just sitting here.
All right, looking forward to it. Jared Sandler is in surprise. The rest of the shows are heading out there. That sets up today's Diamond Cast.
All right, I've been dying to get to this story. Now we'll get to some Ranger stuff here in a second. I've been dying to get to this story. And this is a trend around Major League Baseball. What's up?
Nothing. Go ahead.
This is a trend around Major League Baseball of players refusing to switch positions. They just won't. Stop it, Bobby. They just won't do it.
Say anything.
This is Rafael Devers of the Red Sox. The Red Sox signed Alex Bregman. Alex Bregman plays third. They signed him a couple weeks ago. So Bregman plays third. So does Devers. Devers was promised by the previous general manager and president, Chaim Bloom, that he is the third baseman. He is going to play third. They signed him to the extension. He's going to play third. Alex Cora, the manager, is like, oh, well, we got a new guy at the top. That ain't the case anymore. We'll see what happens. So Devers was asked about moving off of third, and this was his response.
So are you saying if they ask you to DH, you won't do it?
No.
Can you expand on that?
I play third.
Very simple. I play third. That's what he said. I play third. Well, this has caused quite the riff within the Red Sox. Marcus Stroman refused to go to the bullpen recently. He's about to get traded. We had heard that last year, Gleyber Torres refused to move off second base when the Yankees got Jazz Chisholm. He refused to move to third. He wouldn't do it. But so these teams just acquiesce. There's, oh, okay. Well, you're not going to move them. We're just going to keep playing here. And now the thought is that Alex Bregman is actually going to move to second base, despite Rafael Devers not being as good of a defensive third baseman. Tristan Casas, who plays for the Red Sox, says that Devers continues to get better and better every year. And this is another situation here. I give you Exhibit A on why you should never listen to a player about their own league. Tristan's the first baseman. Rafael plays third. He knows Rafael sucks. He should know, at least, because he's a professional baseball player. These are Rafael Devers' defensive run saves since 2020.
Which, what does that mean, though?
What?
Like, I always like the defensive metrics. Defensive metrics are still where analytics are behind in baseball. Like, whenever I hear defensive run saved or D-war, it's like, that is still a really almost impossible, difficult thing to put a number on. And so whenever I hear these numbers, I'm always a little leery.
There's still a baseline to it.
There's a baseline to it, but also you got to remember, how do you know, like with other things, like there are the true outcomes on the offensive side. I do think defense still has some level to it of where, like, there's got to be interpretation more than hard line numbers, because it's really difficult to measure with those metrics.
I'm sure there's truth in that. But when you're negative 4, negative 13, negative 6, negative 9, negative 9 in 5 straight years.
It's not good.
Like, I think that, yeah, sooner or later, if it was flawed, it would have a pop every now and then. I don't know, sure. Right? So, I mean, you just told the world you have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. And I suppose there's a chance that he's just, you know, either A, doesn't buy the stat, or B, is just sticking up for his teammate. But his general manager believes in the stat, and his manager does. So this is just a problem around the sport right now.
Well, let's talk about, because I feel like 15, 20, 25 years ago, we call you a loser. We call you selfish. You're not doing what's best for the team. I don't feel as strongly about that refusing to move. How do y'all feel about it? I remember Bordick and Cal Ripken in Baltimore. And then Jeter and A-Rod. Who's going to play that position?
Right.
Right? Looking out for yourself, your value as a big-time third baseman or shortstop versus a second baseman. Or Mike Trout now is a right fielder, but he already has his money. Do you look at that person as Zach Martin, not wanting to play tackle? Do we understand the comfort in that? Or are we calling that person selfish?
Oh, I understand the comfort in it.
Are you understanding it enough to where you don't blame them and you agree with them?
I don't blame Devers for not wanting to move. And I don't blame him for refusing to move. I blame the manager and the general manager for not just saying, no, this is the lineup. You go to second base or you go to DH. That's the lineup. Like, what are you going to do? That's the lineup. That's
in the NBA, you get traded. You get traded. You force yourself out.
That's right.
That's what I'm saying. A different sports world.
How compelling.
Yeah, it's true.
Although baseball may not, you know, baseball.
No, I mean, baseball still has, like, you can force yourself out. I mean, it's not quite like the NBA.
How compelling is your case, given the context of whoever's behind you, is how I decide if you're being a bad teammate or not? I thought it was, and I know this is blasphemy, this is not super popular with a lot of people because it was always thought of as, wow, what an unselfish guy. Look at how he moved. But, like, people do forget, like, Michael Young asked to be traded twice when he got moved both times because he didn't want to make room for Elvis Andrews and then he didn't want to make room for Adrian Beltre. In those instances, it's like, Michael, I don't think you have legs to say, Elvis Andrus is a better defensive player. I know you want a gold glove. You are not that kind of a defensive player at shortstop anymore. We need Elvis Andrus there. All right, move to third. Michael, we need you to move off third because we got Adrian Beltre. Like, context matters. Just move. And he ultimately did, and so he gets credit for that. But at the time, I remember thinking on both of those, when he had resistance, it was like, well, then just trade me. I was like, all right, fine then, because if you're not going to move, we're going to pick him because he's at a better spot right now.
So, yeah, now what they wind up doing, we'll see. But that is where it sits with Devers and the Red Sox. Speaking of Alex Bregman and second baseman, Buster Olney has gone through this every single week, top 10 at each position. And I found this interesting. First off, Marcus Semien is the first Ranger to be named in a top 10 of these position rankings.
That's stunning after last year.
They went through catcher. They did not have one.
Stunning that he made top 10?
I would just be stunned that he would be the first one just because there's a lot of questions of his bats just done.
Well, he is the second best second baseman, according to Buster Olney. Ketel Marte, number one, and then Semien. And here's the write-up. If the Rangers' offense is going to bounce back, they're going to need more from Semien, whose OBP dipped to 308 last year.
Yeah, you know me.
But even in a down year, he still hit 23 homers and scored 101 runs. He also continues to be an elite defender. Only Bryce Terang and Andrés Giménez had more defensive runs saved, there's your stat, than Semien did last year. I found the next thing to be incredibly intriguing. So they already have Bregman listed as a second baseman here. He's the third overall second baseman in the league, ahead of Altuve. So did he just come from a team where he was the best second baseman on the team and they played him at third? That's what Buster Olney would have you believe.
Probably because Altuve wouldn't move.
Unselfish, you know? Bregman. Selfish Jose.
That's exactly what it is.
I mean, that's what he would have you believe. There it is. I mean, Altuve is number four in that. How good and how much better did the Rangers get this offseason? Win projections for all these teams. They came out before the season started, and now they have come out after all free agency is over. Rangers have the seventh most win projections in all of Major League Baseball. Almost 88 wins. They have increased by about four wins this offseason based off their projections. They started the offseason with a 45% chance of making the playoffs. That is all the way up to 64%. So,
with no one enlisted in the top 10. What a rise.
What a rise.
What am I missing? That why is everybody, it seems like in all these projections right now, so comfortable with Texas's ability to stay healthy?
They have to bet against last year being a fluke.
But is it more about the Rangers' improvement or other teams regressing?
It's also in the American AL. League stinks. The American League is bad. If you are...
Houston got worse.
Houston got worse.
The Yankees lost...
They lost Soto. They got other guys. You know, they got Bellinger and Max Fried and Goldschmidt. Cleveland is Cleveland. Like, Cleveland's going to win their fair share. They'll win their fair share of games. I think Kansas City is the team that could, like, they could come up and bite you. But like, if you're if you, like, the Yankees are pretty clearly the favorites of the American League. Like, if they don't make it to, like, the ALCS, like, I think heads might roll there. Like, that's how easy the American League is this year.
You mentioned, Sean, like, obviously tongue-in-cheek, where you're like, without a top 10 player, like they're having all this. So FanGraphs the other day put out their FanGraph war projection for each spot. Texas is seventh in Major League Baseball in infield and catcher projected war. They are eighth in outfield plus DH. They are 10th in starting pitching, 10th in bullpen, and overall sixth. So FanGraphs thinks they are top 10, like, across the board.
Someone said something like that. Them and the Dodgers had something like that in common. It was like being up there in terms of those categories. I'll find the specific thing.
Speaking of the Dodgers, good friend Dustin May. He's in my golf gang group chat.
Okay.
Go home, Dodgers.
What a flex.
What a flex. What a flex. They never show up to play golf when I go play. Cole Hamels is on it. He never shows.
You're
his
on
face.
A group text with Cole Hamels?
And Dustin May. Yeah.
The three of you?
Yeah, well, and about 20 other people.
Oh.
Cole's sending photos of, you know, golfing at exotic locations. But Dustin May, who went to Northwest High.
Yep. And like Chiafalo.
Yep, and you know, he's from the Justin, Texas area. He said a salad nearly killed him. That's why he missed so much.
This is amazing.
It left him with a huge scar. I have not seen this, but he had season-ending surgery to address a problem with his esophagus. That's all that was announced. And he told the LA Times that he had a salad for dinner while rehabbing, and he washed down a leaf of lettuce that got stuck in his throat with some water, and somehow that leaf of lettuce had an esophageal rupture.
Dude.
That's the sharpest shard of romaine I've ever heard of.
This was the worst. I had salad last night, and I was terrified after reading this. Something got stuck on the esophagus. They had to cut him open and remove it.
Crazy.
Lettuce shredding up your esophagus?
Iceberg, romaine? What is your preferred lettuce? I'm an iceberg guy.
I like
the big ball, the big lettuce ball.
Yeah. The thing is, when you're supposed to eat kale, it's awful. Kale, Caesar salad, maybe. And then you get the spinach lettuce, but sometimes it gets like wet and nasty.
That's when it's old, right? When it gets wet, starts to get wet.
Yeah, it just smells funny in there. What about you? I know you're iceberg.
I don't think I could tell you the difference between any of it. It's all grass to me. I douse it in a bunch of ranch.
877-881-1053, Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line. Those are the Diamond Cavs from Ralph James on the home of the Rangers. And by the way, we have our first Rangers spring training games this Saturday and Sunday. Did the National Football League just give the Cowboys more room to sign Micah Parsons early? That's next in Below the Belt, 105.3 The Fan. The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not. Over to you, Bobby.
We're only 1 month in, and the economy has still turned around enough that the Cowboys have an extra $16 million. That's the word. Yeah.
Quotes.
Yeah. Air quotes. Just like that. The NFL salary cap, a memo from the league was sent out yesterday to teams. The NFL salary cap will be somewhere between $277.5 million and $281 million. And that is just based on
which Jerry calculated to the T, right?
Not exactly. They sent out a memo to teams and let them know basically there's just some final hurdle of the NFLPA has to make a decision based on if they want to take an entire sum and apply it to this year, or if they want to take a portion of it and roll some of it into next year. So that's why the figure will fall somewhere in there. They don't know yet. But it'll be somewhere in that range. And ultimately, if they say, nope, we want it all now, then that means that you will get a $281.5 million salary cap, which is $26 million leap, and is way over where some teams and the Cowboys definitely had the salary cap projected at this time last year. They thought it was going to go up by about $10 million. And so now I don't know if their projections changed when they got into the fall. Did they realize, oh, nope, this is going up? But last year, they felt like they were not going to see the same explosion of growth. And so at least for this year, it looks like their projections were off, and they've got to figure out why that was the case.
Well, you can play around maybe with Oso Digizua. Could you talk about a free agent signing, or can that be more money for number 11. As Micah Parsons said, there is definitely a plan in place for his second contract. What does that actually mean? Well, Joel Corey, friend of the show, agent, former agent, CBS Sports, he did a little breakdown of how to do this and do it early.
He said, "Do it. Call his bluff. Call Micah's bluff. He's scheduled to make a fully guaranteed $24 million this year on the fifth-year option. And he has said, you know, he said, I don't think there's any difference between $30 and $40 million. So what he is saying is call his bluff. Other players have taken cuts, you know, taken reduced contracts, you know, like Tom Brady. But Brady had already made a ton of money at that point when he started taking a lot of these cuts. He won a lot of his, he won three titles on his rookie deal. And then he got paid, and then he took cuts, and then he started winning a bunch of titles again. Like, it was like, hey, this is kind of the way you got to do it. Well, he's saying call the bluff, but obviously that's not something that his agent wants to hear.
Now, before we get into the numbers, I want to say something that is not going to go over well. I'm just putting it out there because I think the Cowboys have tried to hint at this multiple times. They did it in the shoddy opening presser. No one talked about it. And we did talk about it during the CeeDee Lamb negotiations. Everyone keeps saying, don't wait, don't wait. Why you guys wait? Why you guys wait? I think the Cowboys are trying to tell us, but not blast the player fully. Guys, we're not the only ones responsible for the holdup.
Yep.
He referenced Dak. He goes, Dak, would you agree? Smile for me back there. Smile for me. What he's trying to tell us is, and I do think we have to let them off the hook to a degree if it's true, the player asking for something way out of left field or right field causes a delay, right? CeeDee Lamb maybe wanted to wait for Justin Jefferson. So that's just not like Jerry and Steven kicking up their feet on the yacht,
right,
waiting and costing themselves more money with more people signing. Same thing for Dak, and maybe the same thing for Micah. Micah may want to wait for Trey Hendrickson. Micah may want to wait for other non-defensive players because now the title is highest non-paid quarterback. So his agent, David Mulligetta, he may want to wait. And that's not the Cowboys waiting. I'm just putting that. He may want to wait for Jamar. We're looking at Jamar Chase possibly getting 40 a year. He may want to wait for Crosby. He may want
to
wait.
He may
want to wait for Myles Garrett. I just wanted to put that out there because Jerry did it again during the Schottenheimer press conference. I think he's trying to tell us, y'all, it's just not us being lazy and behind the times.
Yeah, I understand that, but like, why do other teams get these things done though? A lot of times.
Well, give me the player. Like, if you are Lamb and Micah, I want to wait on everyone else because I'm that good. I can command top of market. If I'm Trey Hendrickson, I'm good. But I don't know if Trey Hendrickson has that same timeline of I'm going to wait for. There's no point for Trey Hendrickson, I don't think, to wait on Myles Garrett because I don't think Trey Hendrickson matches or tops Myles Garrett.
He's over 30.
Or matches or tops Micah Parsons. So if I'm Lamb, it makes more sense to wait than if I'm, I'm just trying to think of a lesser, if I'm T. Higgins. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Someone like that. That's just my theory.
Yeah, my thing is you don't have to wait until, you know, we're a couple of weeks into camp. Like Justin
Well, it depends. When does Myles Garrett and Max Crosby get their money?
Well, Justin Jefferson signed in June. He was like, yeah, I'm going to sign in June.
Yeah.
He didn't wait. He didn't wait on what CD got. He's like, I'm going to sign. I'm going to get in the camp.
True. I have no answer for that.
So
did Lamb get done after that?
It was Lamb around the same time Zach Martin got done the previous year, right?
No, because Lamb didn't get done until we got back to Dallas. Lamb wasn't in Oxnard with his contract.
What month was it?
That was middle of August or something, okay, or late August,
couple
something like that.
Months after.
Yeah. But, no, by the way, yesterday, Micah Parsons, quote tweeting Dan Graziano's report about the salary cap, types LFG with an exclamation point. Which is weird because I thought he didn't need to collect all the money. He was going to just give it back to them so that they could spend all of it.
Has he tweeted back to Lawrence Taylor yet, who said more playing, less podcasts?
I have not seen him do it on his podcast.
What?
He's going to address it on his podcast.
That's right. So what do you have to say to what I just brought up about the player delay?
I think, yeah, players definitely will want to wait sometimes. And even if they want to wait Like, for instance, I think what the Cowboys are more guilty of is I don't think Dak at the end of his first 4-year contract was wanting to get tagged and wait around. Like, that was not something he wanted to do. He wanted to get it done then. Even if he was waiting for other contracts to fall, there reaches a point where you're like, but I want to get it done before this date, even if those deals aren't done. So that definitely is on the player for maybe delaying negotiations through a summer or something like that. The Cowboys have pushed things as far as possible, though, pretty frequently. I am going to be interested to see if they can do that with Micah, if they want to try that tactic. And Micah may want to wait. David Mulugeta, who's his agent, has a history of when players are in the final year of their deal, if they are a big-time player, do a big-time contract, he is not having them go out there and risk injury. So it's like, you do not show up till we get a deal. But like, Micah is definitely, I think...
So he won't be at OTAs or minicamp?
I don't think so. I think Micah is definitely a potential holdout candidate. That's not me saying Micah's going to hold out. Let me report on that. I'm just saying if you follow the history of how Mulugeta has advised his clients through different things, then I would imagine that Micah is similar. Now, Micah could just say, I'm going to show up anyway because I want to, or I want to be involved there, or they could get the deal done earlier. But if this drags on a little bit, you might be looking at something similar to what you had with CD, where maybe he's missing some time until things get straightened out. But yeah, I don't think you're wrong that in a lot of ways, like I think Dak absolutely was just, there's no reason for me to sign until you meet my number. Like, this is my number. You either sign it or we drag this all the way out to the end. And the Cowboys ultimately went, okay, I guess we're signing him. Because he had all the leverage there. And so that's the... There are some instances where it's completely on a player. I think in a lot of ways, the Cowboys definitely have had a hand, though. Probably just not as much as they've been held responsible for, is what I would say.
Take anything else from Joel Corey's suggestions on how to do this and the numbers to throw out there?
No, so Joel is always really interesting to me in terms of the way that he approaches things.
Where's the interesting bell?
It's over here.
Bing. Okay.
It's with me now because you guys say it all the time, and I'm just nice enough not to hit it on you guys. Yeah, that's what it is. The thing is that Joel is generally, I feel like Joel's stuff a lot of times is not just a, hey, here's a suggestion. Joel's still pretty well connected in the league, and Joel knows how agents are talking, knows how teams are talking. So a lot of times when he lays things out like this and he's talking like this, it's more like he's trying to hint at something he may know. That's not always the case, but I feel like a lot of the times when Joel says that, so when you read stuff like this, I think that it's a good indication of like, hey, these are real factors that are going on in these potential negotiations that everybody needs to be aware of. But I mean, ESPN was writing about Micah's extension the other day, and they said, look, there's other guys coming up who are going to try and demand that they are the highest paid defensive player in the NFL. That one, you might have more of an urgency on the Cowboys side to say, don't play that one out because that's a legitimate chance to get pushed up, because Micah's not the clear-cut number one defensive player in the NFL. He's right near the top, but it's not like in the past where, oh, here's Mahomes. Or like, oh, here's, you know, Justin Jefferson or whatever. He's not the clear-cut. He's right at the top with a bunch of other players. Over at the Star the other day, we were talking about the assistant coaches. This is a good audio of Sean's favorite player on the Dallas Cowboys. Our buddy, our training camp buddy, Jake Ferguson.
He's number two now.
He's number two. What, who's
after
number one?
This year, I had to bump him.
Is it over Sean?
Yeah, it's over Sean.
Okay.
I'll take an injured over Sean over Ferg right now after that season.
Ferg, I've heard whispers, though. He is a somewhat frequent listener, too. So he's a fan of our show. So we got to be a fan of his.
Ferg,
too.
You are tied for first.
There we go. All right. So, and this will maybe bump him back to just number one overall. The other day when we were talking to the assistant coaches, Todd Archer is writing an article on how pre-draft visits work, and I imagine he's going to have that out next week, but just about the combine process. And Todd had asked Linda Wells if he remembered anything specific about Jake Ferguson's combine interview with the Cowboys. This is Cut 13, Peyton, and this is a pretty funny retelling of how Jake Ferguson pitched himself to the Cowboys.
The biggest thing I remember from his interview, you know, at the end of the formal interviews, I always ask the guy, say, you know, turn to us and tell us why we should draft you. And he just said, man, you know, man, I'm going to go out there and play hard and work hard, and I'm just going to him up. And the coach was like, okay, give me a little bit more. He's like, going to him up. I'm like, okay, all right, got your chance. You know.
But sitting there with it, like, I could definitely say this and be like, I don't know, I'm just going to go out there, I'm going to kick his ass. What do you want me to do? The Cowboys a couple years ago had interviewed a player. I don't want to say who it was, but they interviewed a player at the Combine and had asked him, there was a late penalty, like a Sam Williams type penalty that you see. And they were, you know.
When the penalty is just known as a Sam Williams type of penalty.
Exactly. I forgot about him.
It was just a late hit. It was an offensive line with a late hit. And they had apparently asked him, they're like, so what's the deal here? He's like, I don't know. We were their rival. We were losing. I was mad. And they're like, okay, so? He goes, so I just thought, F him. And I hit him.
And they're like, yeah.
They kind of liked it. They're like, you know what? We need to control a little bit, but we like the edge of just you don't like losing. You're just like, all right, screw this guy in front of me. Like, they want that tenacity.
B-Low.
D-Belt.
Every single day at this time on your home of the Dallas Cowboys with Sean and RJ on DFW Sports Station. Let's talk about the event the entire world is focused on tonight. It's airing on this radio station at 7 o'clock. We will preview the United States versus Canada and the rest of the star season with Brian Ray, pre and post host from Victory Plus, to kick off the 9 o'clock hour and a Dierks Bentley ticket giveaway next.